Today, the sermon title is Lessons from the Midwives. Lessons from the Midwives. Lessons from the Midwives. So we are going to read Exodus chapter 1. Okay, we're good. Exodus chapter 1. Lessons from the Midwives. We're going to read from verse 1. And as we read, I'm going to say some things, and then I will then we'll look at the lessons from the midwives, okay? There are four lessons that I would like us to learn from these midwives. I'll talk about them. But let's read the story so that we know about these midwives that we are talking about. So the Bible says, just to give a brief background to this story, Joseph ended up in, his brother sold him to Egypt, to slavery in Egypt. Joseph becomes the prime minister of Egypt, okay, and then when he becomes the prime minister, the famine came into the land. The whole Bible says in that region, famine came, and so Joseph brought his whole family into Egypt. And when the family came, they never went back. Now understand, as we know the scriptures, understand that this came because of a prophecy that God had given in Genesis chapter 5 to Abraham because of the covenant. Okay, all this happened because of the covenant. God had given a word of promise. Amen. Let me tell you, that word that God has said, it will happen. It will happen. It will happen. So the Bible says, I'm not going to read from verse 1 because it lists all the people that came. So in verse 3, it says, verse 5, all those who were descendants of Jacob were 70 people. Now, 70 people came, okay, to Egypt. They migrated to Egypt. Understand that this 70 people were the people that God used to start the nation Israel. Okay? So the nation of Israel was born in bondage. Isn't God something? That the promise that he gave to Abraham, that you will inherit the land, all of a sudden, the land where they were, God took them away from the land. Sometimes, the way God works is very interesting. Okay? It's like God takes you backwards before he brings you back to where you need to be. It's so strange. And we don't understand because I'm already in the land, the promised land. But now he took them out of the promised land to Egypt. And he did something with them. In Egypt, God multiplied them. Remember, he said, I'm going to multiply your descendants. You'll be fruitful and they'll possess the land. But you will think that God will multiply them in the land. He didn't do that. Are you getting the lesson here? He didn't do that. Because if I'm already in Delaware City, why are you taking me to Newark to bring me back to Delaware City? Why won't you multiply me in Delaware City? But God didn't do that. That's God's way. Okay? So they went out there, gained great possession. Understand that God took them there to bless them with money. Because when they left Egypt, they left with great possession. That's what the Bible says. Are you catching this thing? Okay. So sometimes, God, it might seem as if you're going backwards in life. What's that? Okay. So it might seem as if you're going backwards in life, but you're actually not going backwards. Okay? You're not. So don't use your mouth to curse God. When you find yourself in a place where you don't want to be, in a strange land, in Egypt. So, Joseph died, and all his brothers and all that generation. But, verse 7, but the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied, and grew exceedingly mighty. And the land was filled with them. So, out of 70, God's word is now happening. The Bible said the people became mighty. They multiplied. Now, There arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. It means a new supervisor came on the job. A new supervisor, we did not know your accomplishment in the past. That you saved the company money. That you were the best worker of the year. The supervisor didn't know that. The Bible says there arose a new king who did not know Joseph. This king did not recognize the accomplishment of Joseph. But you know why? Because God shut his eyes and God shut his ears. Because Egypt was not the permanent place for his people. Amen. And so sometimes when there's all this chaos around us, it's because God is trying to move us. He's preparing to move us to the destination. Maybe it's too much. This preaching is hard. It's good preaching. Okay. But these are uncomfortable situations. Okay? Because it's like, why? I'm very comfortable on this job. I'm doing well. Then all of a sudden, there's chaos on the job. So you ask yourself, why is there chaos on the job? Go to God. He will tell you. Because sometimes it's not always the devil. It is God's will for your life. Because God doesn't want you in that place. He only took you there to prepare you for a better place. Are you with me? But when you are not ready to move, you will be there. Because he's not done preparing you. God gave a promise. He says, your descendants will multiply. So when God reached his target, God says, now the people are ready. Brings in a new king, and the king says, I don't care about you people. Because you guys are too mighty for me. You've multiplied. When the enemy comes to attack us, you'll join them to kill us. So now you got to go. We're going to put you in bondage. This is what happened. Now, so the new king, he says in verse 9, he said to his people, look, the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war that they will join our enemies and fight us. So go on out of the land. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. See, so it's like now the work that you were doing, they've even doubled the work. So now life is becoming difficult in that environment. And verse 12, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew because they were the people of God. Amen. So it doesn't matter which situation you find yourself, you will flourish. You will flourish. You will flourish because there's a purpose for your life. So the Bible says in verse 13, so the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage. You see the progression? Bitter with hard bondage in mortar and brick and in all manner of service in the field, and their services in which they made themselves was with rigor. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives. We're going to talk about the midwives today. One's name was Shipra, and the name of the other was Pua. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew woman and see them on the bedstool, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. You shall kill him. So the enemy starts with bondage. He starts with hard labor. He starts with affliction. And then now he's ended up in what? Murder. That's the progression of the devil's work. He comes to steal, to kill, and to what? Destroy. John chapter 10, verse 10, I believe. Then, verse 17. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they saved the male children. So that I'm reading, I'll come back to all this. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children? And the midwife said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are very lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives. The midwives didn't have children. They didn't have families, but they were delivering babies. That must be tough emotionally. Therefore, God dealt with them, with the midwives. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mightily. Verse 21. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided household for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born, you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Ha, that's wickedness. That's wickedness. That's wickedness. So, who are these midwives? Who are these midwives? These midwives were Jews. And the Bible describes them as God-fearing. It's interesting, they had such meaningful names. One of them was Shipra. Shipra means beautiful one or fair one. Okay, Shipra, that's the meaning of the name. And then Pua means splendid one or one that glitters. So when you see Pua, Pua is smiling like what's my daughter's name? What's her name? Like Susan, smiling. Like Susan is always smiling. Okay. Yeah, Susan is always smiling. Okay, I don't know why your name just went out of my head, but I know your name. Okay, so when you see Pua, she's always smiling. Okay. She's glittering. She's glowing. Okay, yes, there's a certain glory about Pua. Okay. Although they were in the occupation of delivering babies, neither of them had children of their own. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's look at the lessons from these women. Lesson number one. We read that Pharaoh told them that make sure that you kill the male child. So lesson number one, they were tested for their faith. They were tested for their faith. Anybody that fears God, you will be tested. Any person of integrity, you will be tested. In fact, that's how come we can say you're a person of integrity. Because how do I know if you're a person of integrity if you are not tested? I won't know. A person of integrity is not just by title. Is by deeds. Are you with me? So if the Bible says this person is a person of integrity, it means they've been tested. Heaven knows. Heaven has tested them, and heaven can testify that this person is a person of integrity. So if I give you $1 million and I say, take care of the $1 million, and if you steal $10,000 from it, then I tested you and you failed. So I cannot say you're a person of integrity. But if I give you $1 million and you bring $1 million back to me, then I can say, man, this lady is a lady of integrity. Because she was able to keep all that $1 million. Okay? So that's how Christianity is. Heaven will not certify you until you are tested. Did I just say something? Okay. Because it's not by title. Our Christianity is not by title. I'm a Christian. You are a Christian for what? What did you do? Tell me, what did you do? What are your acts? Because the Bible says, by your works, you'll be known. So heaven watches our works, and the earth watches our works. Amen. That's why the unbelievers always judge Christians, because they are looking at our works. Oh, the Christian was cursing. Yeah. Yeah, the unbeliever, they curse, but you go and curse. They say, oh, look at you. Then they say, you are not a Christian, you are just like me. But there has to be a distinction. That's where the faith comes in. So a person who fears God will be tested for their faith. Two examples. We just looked at Job, right? So I'm not going to talk about Job because I was going to talk about it. Thank God I did half of the preaching. Okay. Abraham, Genesis chapter 22. Abraham. First of all, let's look at Genesis chapter 22. Let's look at it quickly. Everybody knows the story of Abraham, okay? He didn't have a child. God gives him a son. And God says, now take up your child and go and sacrifice him. Okay. Now it came to pass after these. Let's not read the whole thing. Tell me the place where, verse 12. But let's read verse 1 and verse 12. How about that? So go back to verse 1, sorry. Now it came to pass after these things that God did what? I told you, a person who fears God, your faith will be tested. Because how will God know that you love him? Amen. A test is a test. Which test is easy? Listen, no spiritual test is easy. Physical test can be easy. 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. That's easy. Spiritual test? It's not easy. Especially if God wants you to take it to higher realms. You see Joseph. You see the way Joseph was tested before he became prime minister? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. So Abraham was the same. God tested him. He said, God tested and said, Abraham. Abraham said, he said, take now your only son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. God would take the thing you love dearly from you. He said, give it to me. You are hanging on to that thing. God said, no, I need it. Give it to me. I'm going to test you. Whether you love that thing more than me. Ooh. Do you love that thing more than God? God says, give it away. Go out there and sacrifice Isaac. Verse 12. And so Abraham actually obeyed. He ties Isaac, puts him on the altar, and God said something. Just when Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac, you know God will not take human sacrifice. So a person of integrity should know that. You see, the thing is obedience. If God gave me $20, why is he taking that $20 from me? Well, he knows that I have to survive. But when God says, give me back that $20, it's for a reason. The same thing happened over here. God says, I've given you a son. You've waited for this thing how many years? 100 years? Now, give it back to me. Abraham loved Isaac. So Bible says, the son you love. He loved him. Man, the thing was so dear to Abraham, Isaac. And God says, give it to me. And so God will take from you that which you love dearly. But understand that when God asks of you, he's not taking it away from you permanently. He's actually trying to multiply that thing back to you. Yeah. Yeah. He's trying to multiply that thing back to you. He gave Isaac to him. How can he take Isaac away? But it's a hard thing. Because your faith is tested. And so he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now, I know that you what? Shall we read it together? Because some of you are not with me. Let's go together. Verse 12. And he said, do not lay your hands on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. So that was the test of Abraham's integrity. The test. Anytime you put yourself in obeying God and fearing God, your faith will be tested. Amen. Through many means, different ways. Curse God and die. Hallelujah. So the faith of these midwives were tested. That's one lesson we learn. Because Pharaoh himself sent a message. Okay? And says, I need you to do something. So who were these midwives? These midwives, understand that at this point in time, the people of Israel had multiplied so much. Bible scholars believe, put the figure around 1 million people. Yes. Bible scholars put the figure around 1 million people that crossed the Red Sea. Yeah. Okay. We don't know the exact number, but they are estimating. They're estimating. 70 people have now become almost 1 million people, 1 million people. Okay. So it was impossible for these midwives to have delivered all of them. These two midwives were the supervisors of a guild, okay, of a union of midwives. So they were the heads of the midwives, okay, these two people, Shipra and Pua. Okay, so there were other midwives under them. Now Pharaoh calls them and says, you guys are the supervisors. And this is what I want you to do. Make sure that any... Listen, when Pharaoh... you know who Pharaoh is? When Pharaoh summons you and you disobey Pharaoh, you are in trouble. Why do you think Moses ran away? Even the one that grew up in the palace, he ran away. Because he knew what Pharaoh could do to him. So Moses said, hey, the thing has been let out. I'm a dead man in Egypt. So he ran away. So if you disobey Pharaoh, you are in trouble. But their faith was tested. It says when you deliver the Hebrew children, if it's a man, kill him. The male child, I'll talk about it. The male child has always been under attack because he's a seed giver. That's why you need to pray for every man in your life. Whether your father, whether your son, it doesn't, your uncle, pray for them. Because they are the seed giver. And the men too should pray for the women because they are the incubators. When you give the seed, and the one that's supposed to incubate the seed aborts the seed, you are in trouble. There'll be no production. We'll talk about that in school of marriage. Amen. Lesson number two, they put the interest of others first. Lessons from the midwives, the people that feared God. They put the interest of others first. Understand that they did not this is what I wrote they did not let their lack determine their actions of faith. They did not let their so they put their the interest of others first. They did not let write it they did not let their lack is L-A-C-K. They did not let their lack determine their actions of faith. They had no children of their own. Understand that. Okay. So they put the interests of others first. So guess what? My life, Pharaoh has given me an order. My life is at stake. I don't care. I don't have children. Okay. So it would be very easy for me to say, okay, kill them. And I won't feel anything. But they actually put their lives at risk. I'll come to that. Okay. But they did not let, what did I say? I said they put the interests of others first. So they looked out for other people. They look out. See, if you need a child, let me show you the secret. Lessons from the midwife. If you need a child, stop praying for yourself. Pray for others that need children. You'll be surprised. That's how the it's a mystery of the kingdom. That's why when I need money, okay, then I give to somebody who's doing a project, a church project. I need it for my church project. But I give to somebody who's doing what? A church project. But I need it. But that's the mystery of the kingdom. Amen. It is the mystery of the kingdom. And the midwives taught us this lesson. I knew it before they taught me though. Because I read it in other places in the scripture. Because in Philippians chapter 2, go to Philippians chapter 2, 3 to 4. Philippians chapter 2, 3 to 4. Let's read together. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each other let each esteem others better than himself. Verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. This is the way the kingdom works. Go to verse 3. I'll read it again. Let me read it myself. He says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition. So these midwives could have been selfish and preserved their lives, right? What did they have to lose by obeying Pharaoh? Well, they would have lost their kingdom. But naturally, they would have preserved their life naturally. But the Bible says, he who keeps his life will lose it. These midwives knew a lot. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem, means in humility of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. So how can I see Sister Hannah better than myself? How can I be thinking about Sister Hannah? Amen. I told you about Cornelius. Cornelius will sleep and think about ways to be able to bless somebody. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible is telling us to do. So if I'm going to start a business, if I want to start a business, or I have a business, my business is failing, then instead of, oh, we God help my business, I begin to pray for Alex's business. I begin to pray for Clement's business. I begin to pray for who is the business owner here? Every business owner, Tolu, Padu, everybody. That's what I do. And as they prosper, God prospers me. That's how the kingdom works. It's the mystery of the kingdom. You want to grow your church. And you pray for that church down the street. That God will help them and God will increase them. Number 3. These women risk their lives for others. It's really in line with number 2, but just want to separate that. Hallelujah. The very interesting story in Acts chapter 15. And there were two men that Bible describes out there. So in Acts chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas are in a city called Antioch. They're preaching to Gentiles. These are not Jews. And they've made a lot of strides in ministry. Then a group of Jews from Jerusalem came there to the Gentiles. They said, no, these people are not saved. They have to be circumcised before they get saved. And Paul is saying, that's not the scripture. So there was a big argument. And the church got confused. The Gentiles got confused. Because now the Gentiles are believing that, okay, we cannot be saved until we get circumcised. But we are not Jews. And Paul says, that's not the gospel. And so it became a big thing. They had to send Paul and Barnabas had to go all the way to Jerusalem to the apostles, who were the leaders of the church, to resolve that issue. So in Acts chapter 15, let's read from 25. This is the background to it, 25, 27. Acts chapter 15, verse 25 to 27. Actually, let's read 22 to 26. Let's read 22 to 26. Then it pleased the apostles. So this was the meeting in Jerusalem. It's called the Jerusalem Council. Okay. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. Stop right there. So after they met together, okay, James, the head of the church, and Peter spoke and said, no, we cannot let them be circumcised because they are not Jews. They cannot obey the law, follow the law like us. Okay. So tell them that they should abstain from blood, sacrifice, and all those things. Then they sent two men. They sent two men with Paul and Barnabas back to Antioch. But the two men they sent was Silas, okay, and a guy called Judas, who was named Barsabbas. Okay. Now, it says, leading men amongst the brethren. Okay. Keep reading. So, they wrote this letter by them, the apostles and the elders and the brethren. Since we have heard all these things, let's keep going. Keep go to 26. 26. This is how, go to 25. Sorry. Okay. So this is part of the letter. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Saul. The chosen men that were sent were Silas and Judas called Barsabbas. Guess what? This is how they are described. It says in verse 26, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those were the men that the apostles saw fit to send to Antioch. But I've told you, anytime the Bible gives a description of somebody, heaven has recognized them for what they did. Amen? So they actually, Bible says these two men, they risked their lives. We don't know what they did. But the Bible says, you know what a risky thing is? A risky thing means that you can die in the process of the thing, or you can suffer loss in the process of the thing. These men, they risked their lives. The midwives, they risked their lives. That's why heaven recognized them. What are you risking for the gospel? That's my question. Or is it just, you know, the easy way out? You know, when it's convenient for me, I go to the prayer meeting. You know, today I'm tired. I don't think I want to go to church today. I'm so tired. Okay. Keep your tiredness. Amen. We all get tired. Hello? I said we all get tired. And sometimes we do crazy things. We put our integrity online for somebody. Hallelujah. We fast for somebody. We pray for somebody. We do things that naturally will cost us for somebody. Sometimes you give the money and you don't know how you pay your bills. That's risky. Because they can eject you from your house. I said, that's risky. Pharaoh says, kill them. And the midwife says, we are not going to kill them. You know the interesting thing? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I like this one. I'll come to that. Let me not jump ahead of myself. In Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John healed the guy at Gates Beautiful, they arrested them. And then they told them, let's read this quickly. Verse 29, Acts 4, 29. Let's read Acts 4, 19, 29, 31. They were reading three verses. Acts chapter 4, verse 19. Don't worry. We are learning the word. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge the case. Because after they healed this man, they said, don't preach in Jesus' name again. But these are the elders of the city. Who is Peter? A fisherman. Standing in front of these elders to tell them. It's like Pharaoh tells you, don't kill. And you tell Pharaoh, judge whether it is right for me to kill. That's what Peter and John did. Because the people said they served God. These elders. So Peter said, you judge. If you say you serve God, is this God's character? That's why let me divert a little bit. That's why when a Christian says, as for me, I curse. You stand on national TV and say, oh, I curse. Oh, I used to curse. It was when I received a revelation about the Holy Spirit. The day you got born again, the Holy Spirit didn't talk to you. You waited 20 years in ministry before you heard the Holy Spirit says, don't curse. So when a person is talking like that, you know who they are. They are like these people who told Peter, don't preach again. As for me, I drink a little, you know. It's fine. I hide in my room and I drink a little. When I get drunk in my bed, I'm not harming anybody. When you get drunk, the Holy Spirit is bringing you visions and dreams and prophecies. And you are waking up praying. At night, when the Holy Spirit needs you to pray for that sister, you are drunk. You see, when you take that little glass, it becomes two glasses. And then become three glasses. Then you are gone. And then the Holy Spirit cannot wake you up to pray for mommy. Mommy, pray for them all. Because they won't pray for you. They are drunk. Which spirit? Okay, there are two spirits. This one is a different spirit. This one is not the Holy Spirit. The other spirit. My God should help us. Hey. Yeah, so when people like that, they are telling people, don't preach Jesus. But yet they are holding the Torah, the law. And they are telling somebody healed somebody. They have not healed anybody before. The man at gate, beautiful, he was there. They saw him when they were entering the temple. They didn't heal the man. And Peter and John came to heal, and they are telling them, don't speak in the name again. Peter said, you judge. The fisherman, he said, you judge for yourself whether this is right. Hey, but he's speaking to the elders. Go to verse 29. After you say that, you don't stop there. You do something. I'll show you what you do. Because the enemy will attack you. So after you go and challenge the devil, you don't stop there. You don't just go and sleep. No, you don't sleep. Verse 29. It says, so now they came back. And this is what they prayed. And this was their prayer. Now, Lord, look on their threats. So after they challenged the elders, they didn't sleep. They went and prayed. He said, now look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. But stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be. But they had already done signs and wonders. But Paul said, give us more. Give us more. We want more. We want more. So we are not satisfied with where we were yesterday. We want more. That signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And look at verse 31. Look at verse 32. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with all boldness. Heaven recognized them. Heaven came down. Heaven came down. Heaven came down. Hallelujah. So when you go and challenge the devil, don't sleep. Don't go to bed. Are you with me? You pray. The devil is bad. Amen. So they raised their life. The woman raised their life. Last point. Last lesson we learned from the midwives. They put the fear of the Lord above the fear of man. They put the fear of the Lord above the fear of man. C.C. Winant said something. And I was just listening to an interview that she granted. She said, the fear of the Lord will make you lose the fear of man. She said, the fear of the Lord, it will make you lose the fear of man. When you fear God, you won't fear man. Are you with me? Okay. He said, the fear of the Lord will make you lose the fear of man. And he says, if it doesn't look like God, it's not God. That's a different thing. But I like that one too. Yeah. You're going to tell me that you're a Christian and cursing is okay. What kind of Christian are you? The unbelievers are cursing you too, you are cursing. The unbelievers are doing all kinds of Christian, you are doing the same thing. No, that's not Christian. We have to be different, people. People, let's be different. This is what we accepted. Okay? This is what we accepted. We accepted Jesus into our hearts. And we accepted to serve him. And so let's serve him well. Let's represent him well. Amen. Let's represent Jesus well. Let not that person see us and say, look at those Christians. In fact, when they see us, we should be like Daniel. They said, we have nothing against this person except his prayer to his God. And so let's use that against him. That's fine. God protected him. God delivered him from the lion's den. at what happened. Let me show you something, because some of you, I know you are questioning in your head. Go back to Exodus chapter verse 19. Sorry, Exodus chapter 1 verse 19. Let me read from 17 actually, and then we'll be ending soon. Verse 17. So the midwives did not kill the children, right? But the midwife, after Pharaoh gave them the order, but the midwives feared God and did not do so as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved? So Pharaoh heard it. Okay? He heard it. Now, when they call you to give an account, what are you going to say? What are you going to say to Pharaoh? Oh, Pharaoh, I feared God. So, no. Listen. But the midwife said to Pharaoh, because they brought them to court, and they said, now answer to us why you haven't killed these people. What is your justification? You are going to tell Pharaoh, I feared God more than you. Pharaoh doesn't fear any other god. The moment you tell Pharaoh that you've degraded Pharaoh's god, and that's your death right there. Because there's only one god, there are gods that rule in Egypt. But Pharaoh himself is considered a god. So how are you going to tell Pharaoh that there's another god? That's why when Moses went there, the first time, Pharaoh said, what, you are joking. Call my magician, let them also do some stuff. They put their rod there, and then serpent started rolling. Moses said, hey, today there's a challenge here. So look at what happened. Listen to what they said. The moment they questioned them, the midwife said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. The moment they put them to court, God gave them a word of wisdom. That's where I'm driving at. That's what I'm driving at. In that situation, God will give you a certain word of wisdom. Because what were they going to tell Pharaoh? For Pharaoh to spare their lives. So immediately God gave them a word of wisdom. God gave them a word of wisdom. Ha. After God gave the word of wisdom, you know what God did? He said, therefore, God dealt with the midwives. And the people multiplied and grew very mighty. God dealt well with them. But in verse 19, go back to verse 19. In verse 19, God gave them a word. In Luke chapter 12, write it down. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Luke chapter 12, 4 to 12. Okay. Maybe let's read portions of it. We'll read portions. We won't read the whole thing. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Only God can do that. Yes, I say to you, fear him. It means fear God. Christians, fear God. Child of God, fear God. Are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? He said, but the very hairs of your head, I have to read this whole thing, but the very hair of your head are all numbered. My God. Leslie. You see your hair. He knows every strand of it. Whether it's wig, whether it's real, he knows every strand of it. Even when they were weaving the thing. Huh? Every strand of it, he saw it. Once you put it on your head, he knows the number. My God. Ooh, I love that. Hey. Yes. Hey, he knows the number. That's God. No. Jesus is telling us something about ourselves. That every aspect of our lives, He knows, and he's mindful of it. Are you with me? Sometimes we have to laugh a little bit. Church shouldn't be boring. We have to laugh in church. Well, as we learn, we have to laugh. I like to laugh. Sometimes by myself, I laugh. I'm reading a scripture. I will laugh by myself. If you can't think this man is mad. But I'm just laughing because I found something here. I like to laugh. Amen. I'm not always serious. I'm a very serious man, but I'm not always serious. I laugh a lot. You'll be surprised. Am I lying? Okay. But the very hair of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are more valuable. You have more value than many sparrows. Okay. And I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man will also confess before the angels of God. Are you with me? Okay. Verse 9. And he says, whoever denies me before men, this is the danger. Whoever denies me before men will be denied before the angels. It means the angels will move. It means you go, Jesus, help me. The angels are there like that. They are still here. They are not moving. The angels are what? Are not moving. Because guess what? You denied him. It's not about Ngozi. Don't mind. Ngozi, you are a righteous person. Don't worry about that. You see, this man shoots his mouth. But he who denies, listen, oh, please, get the message. He who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. So Father, save me. But the angels are what? They folded their arms and they are not moving. If the angels were not with you, you have been dead. A truck hit you, you'd be gone. The angels were with you. I'm telling you. So Father, provide for me. And the angels are like this. Because you haven't given a damn to the kingdom. And when God told you to give, you didn't give. He was trying to get something to you. You didn't give. And now you're saying, God, help me with my finances. The angels are like this. But when you give, they're like this. Amen. And they're marching. And they're marching. Yeah, they're marching to like soldiers. They don't march slow like this. They're running. Yeah, they're running. They're running. He says, anyone speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven. But him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Verse 11. Now, this is where I was coming to, verse 11 and 12. I was coming to 11. Now, when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer. When they brought the midwives to Pharaoh, what were they going to say? It says, do not worry about how or what you should answer, what you should say. Verse 12. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Amen. That because sometimes you face a certain situation and it's like, what do I say? Because I did this because I'm a Christian from the integrity of my heart. But this one is against the company policy. So what do I do? It's against Pharaoh's policy. What do I do? But you know that the Holy Spirit, don't do this because this is against Christian ethics. You're going to help that person commit abortion. It's against Christian ethics. But you are a doctor out there and they say, the doctor, go and do this. No, I can't do this thing. Fire me. I can't. Or maybe, you know, on the job, they say you can't preach on the job. Me, quietly, I'll preach the word. And then they hear, we heard that you have become a religious person in the organization. The Holy Spirit will show you what to tell them at that very hour. This is called practical Christianity. This is called practical Christianity. This is the faith. This is the walk of Christ, of a Christian. We face several difficult situations in life. Do we compromise or do we not compromise? What do we do? Lessons from the midwives. Lessons from the midwives. Lessons from the midwives. Shall we stand? Lessons from the midwives. The Bible says, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Some of us have been to church and gone to church, but our life is the same. Why? Why? You know, it bothers me. When every Sunday we go to church, but our life is the same. Why is my life the same? I have to question myself. Why is my life the same? Fear God. That's all I'll say. Fear God. Fear God. Fear God. Pray for yourself. You have heard the word. You have heard the word. They were tested for their faith. They put the interests of others first. They raised their lives for others. And then they put the fear of the Lord above the fear of man. Some of us love to please men. I'll talk about this thing. The fear of man. The fear of man will cripple you. It will rob you of God's blessing for your life. I'll talk about that. If God permits, maybe next week. I don't know. But the fear of man will cripple you. The fear of man. So man will tell you to do something against God's plan for your life, against God's will and purpose for your life. And then you say, no, but because it's my father and because it's my mother. Yes. They could have said, because he's Pharaoh. This is the time you pray for strength, because that test will come. It will come to you. So this is, right now, is the time you pray and say, God, give me the strength. That when the time comes, you give me a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. That when the time comes, you give me the strength to stand on your word. Pray for yourself. This is the time. This is the time. And for those of you who do not know the Lord, whether you're online or in this place, the Bible says, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? There's nothing that you can give in exchange for your soul. To go to hell? No. And hell is real. We are not just saying something. We are not just standing in the pulpit to preach because we have to preach. No. I don't have to stand here to preach. I've told you, I laugh by myself. I preach to myself all the time. All the time. But I know what this thing means to me. This thing is so practical to me. This thing is so practical to me. It's so real to me that I can never give this thing up for anything else. I can't. This thing has saved my life. And so if he saved me, I'm presenting that same Jesus to you. Now give up your life to Jesus today. All you need to do is ask him to come into your life. And for those of you who are not, I call you, you are not a good Christian. You vacillate. Today you are hot, tomorrow you are cold. No. You have to rededicate your life. You rededicate your life to God. Because it's not a gimmick. This is too real. Our God is too real. Father, we thank you. We bless you for your word. We pray for anyone that has accepted you as their Lord and personal Savior today. Anyone that has asked you to come into their lives. Anyone that is rededicating themselves even to you, even to live for you. We pray that on that day of accountability, they will make it. And I pray for my brothers and sisters that are here. I pray, oh God, that every every one of us. When we are tested, that grace will abound to stand the test of our faith. I bless you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you.